John chapter 1, if you would please. It's where we'll be, at least begin this evening as we continue our series on the character qualities of Christ, looking at a variety of things in his that's about him. Today we're going to look at creativity. Creativity. We know that God is creator, but sometimes we don't put the connections to how important that characteristic is. It's an important quality that we need to emphasize even in witnessing. For instance, in Acts chapter 17, when Paul stood on Mars Hill, do you know how he started that gospel presentation? God who made the world. He started right at creation to deal with that. So it's an important characteristic as we work through. What is creativity? Well, it's approaching a need, a task, or an idea from a new perspective. It's the quality of being creative, the ability to create. The word create means to bring into existence, to invest with a new form. Creativity means to learning to complete tasks with greater efficiency and quality. Finding ways to overcome seemingly impossible obstacles. And discovering practical applications for scriptural principles. So a few questions to kind of stir us tonight. Does a new task bring fear to you or challenge to you? A new task. Are you quick to say no to a new idea? We got a family member that it matters not what we bring up. It's no. It just doesn't matter, you know. Want to go to Disney World? No, that'll never work. Would you like to go out to eat? No, oh no, definitely not. That will never work. You're like, would you like to eat in the house? Oh no, 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 I don't have any food in the house. It's like, okay. Matter of fact, we joke about it now. We just know, okay, go ahead and ask the first time, it's no, and then wait a little while and they'll come back around, you know. Does an insurmountable problem cause you to give up or motivate you to search out God's word for wisdom in dealing with it? So I want us to see, though, it's a characteristic of our God that we must use creativity in the ministry to which God calls you. Someone has said that a rut is a grave with both ends kicked out of it. And that's true. And sometimes we get into ruts. It's like, why are we doing this? Well, that's what we always do, right? Instead of being creative with what God has given us to communicate the truth of God's word. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." So first off tonight, we see that He was creative in creation. It's a good place to start, isn't it? Have you studied creation lately? It's pretty amazing, really, when you just begin to look at things. One of the neat parts of our trip to Florida, if you will, was I've actually not been to my mom and dad's in January. I'm not sure if I've ever been to this house in January, actually. And they have some hedges across the front of their house that are green, and that's about it. Well, there were flowers on them. Beautiful flowers, like bright pink, detailed, and as they open, there's yellow just comes exploding out of them. And I said to my mom, I'm like, those give off flowers. And she said, yes, in January. I'm like, well, I'm never here in January, but it's kind of nice to see. It's one of God's creative acts that's like, wow. Andy Bonikowski years ago said, and I every time I think about it, it's so profound and so true. When man creates something, the closer you get to it, the more imperfections you see. When God creates something, the closer you get to it, the more beauty you see. Look at a rose petal, for instance, or the inside of a rose, and get closer and closer, and you'll be more and more amazed. It's like, how did that happen? That's assuming, of course, if you have roses. My roses hadn't produced hardly any roses in the last couple of years, so I haven't been able to do that. But it's amazing how God is in creation. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Psalms 19 and verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." All languages, all races can understand that there is a creator. Look in the sky and see the amazing stars alone. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen and being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." All of creation was thoughtfully created by Jesus Christ. The order of creation is pretty amazing, isn't it? Now God could have superintended things to overlap or undo what he was creating. In other words, he could have created fish and let them live till the next day while he created water. He could have done that. That's him, right? But he created things in order so that they would be able to survive immediately. I mean, think about it. By the way, Hebrews 11 tells us that he created them from nothing. He brooded over creation. He planned creation. Seven times in the creation story, he says it was good. In Genesis 1 and chapter 1 and verse 31 says it was very good. And he created land on day one and then animals. Seas on one day and fish later. What if the fish had come first and no water? In other words, the very order in which he did things. The deeper you go and understand the vast universe, we've talked about some of these things in the past over areas, but the stars and the things we see out there are separated by millions and millions of light years. Light years. Billions and billions of stars. And many of them thousands upon thousands of times larger than our Earth and by our stars and by our sun, what we can see beyond comprehension. And you stand in amazement at all these billions of stars. And you remember that the psalmist says, "God calleth them all by name." Billions of them. That's pretty incredible. Those of us who have children, we can't even get our own kids' names right sometimes, right? It's like, "Hey, you know, what is your name, you know?" It's amazing how that happens, and God knows it all. There's no way that we can comprehend the magnitude of what God did. And he placed man on this one small planet in the midst of these millions of stars and what they now believe to be thousands of galaxies separated by billions and billions of light years. You ever thought about why the excess? I mean, The larger telescopes get, the more they're discovering. So why did we need something millions of light years away? Well, I think one of the reasons is because God wants us to look out into the heavens and say, "Wow, what a God." God uses the stars, among other things, to declare the glory and the greatness of him. "I made them. I sustain them. I know them. I know them by name." Amazing. The psalmist says in Psalms chapter 8 and verse 3, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? There are a lot we could say about God's creation, but I think there are four things specifically that creation should cause in us. The first, it should cause us to be in awe of our God. It ought to cause us to just go, wow. And we're just talking about one aspect of the stars, but think about all the other creation events out there. We love going to the Smoky Mountains. And the Smoky Mountains, Great Smoky Mountains National Park is a international biosphere. There are more salamanders in the Great Smoky Mountains than any other place in the world. And I don't remember, I wish I had looked this up, I don't remember how many species it was, but the first time I read it, I'm like, you're kidding, right? Like, there's that many different species of these little animals, right? It's incredible. And God spoke them into existence. It ought to cause us to be in awe of our God. The second thing I think it should do is it should cause us to trust Him with what we can't see or understand. In order to say, okay, if you can hold all this together, and if you can cause it all not to collide unless you want it to, you've got my life. It's no problem for you to handle. Trust Him with what we can't see or understand. The third thing I think creation tells us is that God has a purpose for things. Now, the truth is, you and I question that sometimes, don't we? I mean, not just in our own life, but with some of the things God created. I mean, any of you ever wondered why He created a fly? I mean, it's like, surely, just to aggravate us at picnics or what? I mean, what is the real purpose of that, right? It must have been after the fall that they came into being or something. I don't know. Or the mosquito or the mouse or whatever. But God has a purpose for everything. And we're going to learn even Sunday morning that even though sometimes we look at things differently, God has a purpose for it. And the fourth thing that creation should cause us to do is simply just to glorify Him. Simply just to glorify Him. What does creation do for you? What does it do for you? When you maybe sit out in the wild or by a roaring stream or hear a bird chirping or whatever, what does it do for you? Does it draw your attention to your God? Because it should. Isn't it amazing how all of it works together? I love to listen to the birds, and it's like they know whether or not it's going to be cold or whether or not it's a warmer day or whether or not it's like amazing how God put all that together. We were joking as we were on visitation today. I'm not sure what was happening in downtown Kings Mountain, but there were a lot of buzzards. I mean, a lot of buzzards, right? And I'm like, I said to the kids, I said, are you planning to die or do you know of something? Because there's a lot of them up there, you know, in the trees. Like, what was the purpose of that? Well, it cleans things up, for one, which is pretty helpful, even though we don't like to think about it. So we see that He was creative in creation. But specifically, I'd like us to see, number two, that we see that He was creative in the human race. And I realize we were created in creation. I understand that. But specifically, Psalms 139, verse 13 and 14 says, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Jeremiah 1 and verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Again, the more we study sciences and the more we get into biology and anatomy and begin to understand really how fearfully and wonderfully we're made. When you begin to understand that a little brain made of some soft tissue and matter send out brain waves through a nervous system that causes the heart to beat and the lungs to breathe, tells the arm to go up and down. Things we don't think about. It tells the heart to take oxygen from the lungs and food from the stomach and pumps out that food through the channels of arteries and veins and capillaries, which if they were dissected from the body and laid end upon end would cover 300 miles. The Creator. He put all that together. When you realize how wonderful that God put our eyes on our forehead, right? Not the bottom of our feet, or not in our belly button. How wonderful that God put our legs where they are, not in our arm sockets, or vice versa. You know, we laugh about those things, and I understand, but really, just think about how God put us together. It's incredible. The animals exhale carbon dioxide. The plants live off of carbon dioxide, and through a process of photosynthesis, they digest what we exhale. They produce oxygen, which is necessary for our perfect balance and harmony. All that just happened by chance, right? The glory of God revealed in creation. And even the idea, we could talk a long time tonight about this, but do you know the heart begins to beat in a new child at 10 days? But there's a problem. The heart has been developed, but the brain has not. So what tells the heart to beat? Do you know what scientists have discovered and medical doctors? That the heart has its own little brain that tells the heart to beat until the mind can take over and start telling the heart to beat. Matter of fact, when they do heart transplants, the only thing they haven't figured out how to do yet is to grow the lead wire from the heart to the brain that tells the heart to beat. So when they do a heart transplant, they start the heart and they believe that the little brain in the heart takes over, and then the heart grows its own lead wire to the brain on a new heart transplant. That's the God we serve. And you're worried about whether or not he can pay your bill. He's literally got this. This is not a problem at all. And we could go on and on, couldn't we? I mean, have you ever studied the eye? Just the eye itself is unbelievable. The Bible says that God created man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and they became a living soul. What a God. Can you imagine what eternity is going to be like? Can you imagine, since God says that he's created for us something that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor can we even imagine what he's got prepared for us? That means whatever you can imagine is not it. Whatever you can come up with, like, well, I wonder if heaven's going to be, whatever it is, that's not it. It's far beyond that. Wow. By the way, he created us all uniquely. And he created us all. So how do you see other human beings? As a unique creation of God? Or some weirdo different from you? It's important. We also see his creativity, number three, in his plan of salvation. The Bible tells us that before the foundation of the world, he was a lamb slain. Matter of fact, we could say it this way: God is creative in his recreation. Because the Bible tells us that if any man be in Christ, he is a, what, Brother Jim? New creature, right? Your favorite verse. See, man was created perfect, but we blew it. We made the choice to sin. And Christ loved us in spite of our sin. And so he wanted to demonstrate his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he brought about this plan of salvation to salvage fallen man so that we could bear his image. Whenever we bring our failures and our sins, Jesus Christ applies the grace of God and begins a new work in us. And he's promised us that whatever he starts, he will finish. In Jeremiah chapter 18, the Bible tells of the story of the potter and the clay. And the truth is, the master has the privilege of making that clay whatever he wants to make it. The clay doesn't say, whoa, time out. I didn't want to be a cereal bowl. I'd rather be a coffee mug. Dale. I don't want to be a serving bowl. I'd rather be... And I know that's rather funny, but that's what we do sometimes, isn't it? We say, well, wait a minute, God, that's not what I want. And God says, no, I can make you how I want. Matter of fact, I can break you down and remake you if you're marred in the hands of the potter. And he continues over and over and over again to recreate. Philippians chapter 1 in verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Are you a new creature in Christ? What can you point to today that proves you're a new creature in Christ? It says, here's the evidence that I'm different. I used to be. And then number 4, we see his creativity in eternity. We won't take the time to read the text of Scripture, but in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 13, he talks about making everything new. In Revelation 21, verses 1 and 3 and 5, he talks about there's a new heaven and a new earth. Another text of Scripture, he talks about the fact that it's impossible for us to understand what he's done. But we can somewhat describe what it would be like to have streets of transparent gold. But the truth is, we really can't comprehend that very well. I mean, we know what a pearl looks like, but we can't imagine a gate made of one single pearl. We can imagine a big city. If you've ever been to a New York, a Chicago, or someplace like that, it's a big city, right? My mom and dad went with us to Chicago this summer, and they had never really been in a big city. They had been in Atlanta. They thought that was a big city until they went to Chicago, right? They determined they didn't want to go back. But can you imagine a city that whatever direction you go, it's the same? And it's really, really, really big. And we get to dwell there. And there's no need of sun because Jesus Christ is there. Now, we could go on and on and on. He will create all things new for those of us who have been created new. What a wonderful truth that is. He is creative. And the fact is, he's made you creative too. Now, some of you may think you're not as creative as some others. But all of you have this special thing that God's given you, part of the body of Christ, and other things that's unique to you, that he gave to you to use in that purpose. And it's part of who you are as his creative acts. So how do you approach a neater task? How does your new life in Christ approach that need or task? You approach it differently because you have a new life in Christ? Do the heavens really cause you to go, wow, what a God. What a God I serve. So let's ask just a couple of thought-provoking questions here. Let's talk about them. Why is it so important that God was, is, and will be creator? Why is that so important? Let's think a little bit. We could flip that question and say, why do you think evolution is so destructive? Kim? Okay, so if he's not creator, he's not in control. It's pretty important, isn't it? He's not in control of the world, he's not in control of us. That's a pretty important part about him being creator. Josh? Okay, we have no purpose because we're just random slime. I mean, that's what they want you to believe, right? You're like, I don't want to believe that. Well, that's what you believe they believe. That's pretty much it. So, yeah. Why else? Ms. Lynn? You're not going to give an account. Pastor? Right. Yeah. So, that all of a sudden makes the fact that God is creator really, really important. All of a sudden it's like, oh, well, no wonder people attack that very thing. By the way, if he's not creator, then isn't the entire Word of God destroyed? From Genesis 1. If we can't trust that story, how do we trust any story? And how much of this book is built on that? Lots of it. Right, Dale. Okay. Yeah, amen. Great. Super. Number two, what is so unique about humans and why should that matter? Brother Jim? We're made in the image of God. Is that a big deal? It is a big deal. And I'm really going to get offensive here. But your dog was not. And neither was your cat or your goldfish or your mouse or anything else. It wasn't. Honestly, Caleb is getting a dog Friday. That's 4 for 4 in my children. And I've miserably failed somehow. I don't get this at all. I reared them better than that, okay? I just don't get it. If we are just animals, would that impact how I treat you? See, the world thinks that evolution really doesn't matter. But when you teach people that you're nothing better than just another animal, then what difference does it make? What difference does it make? Brother Kevin, are you just itching back there? Or are you dying to say something? Okay. You look like you were itching to go, maybe. What does creation make you do? I want you to really think through that. What does it make you do? In everyday life, what does it make you do? Okay. So it makes me really small and the one who created it really big. By the way, that's not a bad position. Hey, Brother Jake? Okay. Okay. Yep. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. It's interesting. And I don't remember the name of the tribe. There was a tribe in South America who were sun worshipers. And their village chiefs got together and they said, okay, wait a second. We worship the sun because every day it comes up and it sets, and it comes up and it sets, and it comes up and it sets, and it is very, very consistent. And they begin to think, who tells it to do that? And their next question was, whoever tells it to do that is probably who we should be worshiping. Isn't that amazing that some quote-unquote heathen tribe could figure that out in the process? By the way, you won't be surprised to know that the gospel came to that tribe, because if they respond to light, guess what God's going to do? He's going to give them light. So, Brother Dale. Okay. Amen. So good. An access point to praise God. Great point. Christina? Amen. Great. Colin? Right. We're the only one that he handmade, that he redeemed, that he made us in his image. I mean, there's a lot of different things there. What precious truth that really is. So I don't know that if you ask someone, give me God's top 10 character qualities, would people put that he's creative in there. But I don't think it's a characteristic that we should take for granted. It's a very fundamental characteristic of God that we need to praise him for, thank him for daily. Father, thank you for your word. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Lord bless. We'll see you on Sunday.